Everybody, welcome to the Break It Up podcast. This is my dad's show. I hope you don't get butt hurt. This show has a lot of opinions. Some you might agree with, and some you won't. This show is not suitable for children. My name is Adrian, and welcome to the show.
Hey everybody, that was my beautiful little girl Adrian with the intro. One of two of my beautiful little girls. She's the older one. The younger one doesn't like to record. Try to get her to do it. Would not work. So, anyways, thank you, Adrian, for the great intro. I actually want to take some time to thank a few people for helping me with this project. First and foremost, I want to thank my wife, who allows me time to do the recording, to do the podcasting, to take time to do the interviews, to do research, whatever it may be. This takes some time to do, and she's been a trooper on helping me do that. I mean, as I record right now, my youngest is sick, so she is being awesome and taking care of the kids while I am here recording this. She is... not to be corny, but she is my rock, and I love her to death. I love my kids to death, and I thank them for being able to help me out by doing this. Also, I want to thank my friend who we are about to interview today, Brendan, and I give him a little shout-out in the interview that you'll hear, but he has been one of my lifelong friends. We both have pursued our own projects since we've known each other, but in the past couple of years, he has really pushed me to pursue some of my goals, some of my dreams, whatever you may have it. So I want to thank him for being a good friend and just being a motivator and helping me get everything set up. He helped me set up with the website and helped me just set up a lot of the different things to help get this going. So special thanks to him. And last but definitely not least, I want to thank my father. About three years ago, I really wanted to start by doing a YouTubing thing or being a YouTuber, whatever you want to call it. And I told him that I wanted to do that. And he believed in me that I could do something like that. And not only did he say he would support me, he actually helped me out, and he actually bought my equipment for me. He bought me a new computer, he bought me my microphone, my webcam, and all that stuff to help me start that. And my lazy ass just didn't do anything for a while, and I am now doing something. Yeah, it's not YouTubing, but I am doing something, and I want to do it in his honor, in a sense, because he believed in me to do it, and I thank him, and if Dad, if you're listening, love you, thank you for all your help and support. I don't know if he will listen. I don't know if he's much of a podcast guy, but thank you anyways if you are listening. Anywho, let's get past the sappy stuff. Today, we are going to be talking to, like I said, my good friend Brendan Traxler. He is the founder of the Atlanta Sea Colony, and we'll get into exactly what that is. And one of the things I want to do with this podcast is to be able to not only talk about political controversies and what have you, but to be able to talk to people who are working on projects that could potentially make life better, potentially improve things in many different aspects. And he's got a project that I think is just awesome, that I think can help improve a ton of things. And obviously, we'll get into that. And without further ado, here is the interview with my good friend Brendan Traxler of the Atlanta Sea Colony. Everybody, welcome to the Break It Up podcast. I am Dumb Jewel, and I have one of my best friends with me today. His name is Brendan Traxler. He is the founder of the Atlantis Sea Colony. It is a project that, well, you know what? I'm going to let him talk about it. So, Brendan, thank you for coming on my show.
Thank you for having me.
So, before we get too into the details, I think it's important for everybody to know that you actually are one of my best friends, and you were actually one of the people that pushed me to do the podcasting thing. So, first and foremost, I love you, and thank you for making me do it.
Hey, no, definitely. I'm all about people, you know, having a dream and fulfilling it, so I'm glad you're finally doing it.
So, kind of going off of that, tell me about what the Atlantis Sea Colony project is.
So it is a 25-year vision of mine. I came up with it back in high school, actually. Kind of dates myself there a little bit. But so basically, you know, it's the whole, you know, I grew up watching Jacques Cousteau and underwater stuff and wanting to scuba dive and everything like that. And I just came, started watching sci-fi TV shows, and these two mixed in together. And I got drawing. I love to draw. And I came up with the idea of an underwater city. Well, as I got looking more into it, that wasn't feasible. So this is a little back history here for you. Make a long story short, basically what happens is over the years, I started researching this and trying to, hey, you know, this is actually doable, but not on a cityscape, at least not yet. So I started looking at, well, I can make like an underwater hotel or underwater housing or whatever. And so that's kind of what basically it is. Atlantis Sea Colony all catches, you know, providing underwater housing, hotels, and habitats. And the whole purpose is to bring the underwater world to the common man so that you don't have to get wet, but you can live underwater if you want to.
And one of the things that people might be wondering is why I'm tackling this subject, because, you know, a lot of times, well, I shouldn't say a lot of times, this is only my third episode in, but one of my goals is to talk about, you know, issues that a lot of people tend to argue about, or like a lot of controversial stuff, or things that people only think one way about. And one of the big things going on right now is that people only want to talk about how are we going to colonize an outer space. With that being a hot topic, why is it important to you that we start trying to colonize the sea?
Well, that's a hot topic for me as well. I mean, I grew up, you know, I think all kids love NASA and stuff along those lines. But then once I started doing research on it, I actually wrote a paper back in high school talking about how the toilet on the International Space Station cost more money than was being used to fund underwater research. And that just, a whole pet peeve there. But then looking more into it and being fair, they do go hand in hand. NASA can benefit from underwater hotels and habitats and stuff like that, because the same principles that are used underwater can be transferred to Moon, Mars, or wherever, because once again, it's an airtight environment. You're having to have everything there for you, produce your own energy in extreme situations, and so forth and so on. So I think they can go hand in hand. But once again, for me, as cool as I love to look at the stars and stuff like that, I have no desire to go to space. I think there's a lot of people about that. There's a fear about it. You don't want to be gone for months at a time, weeks at a time, with no contact to your family. So this gives a more extreme issue here on Earth. And on top of that, you know, 72% of our Earth is ocean, and we've only explored 5% of it. So there's tons of land and tons of opportunity out there. There could be the cure for cancer underwater, or, you know, a new way of producing, you know, food for the masses, or who knows what. You can go into mining. Put your mind to it. It's available underwater, just like it is in our space.
Right now, what are some of the big challenges of creating underwater habitats right now? Like, as far as on a physical level, like, what are the challenges a lot of... Because you've talked with architects. You've been through a lot of the process. You've talked with, like I said, architects. You've talked with people that have pursued kind of the same dream that you have. So what are the big challenges right now to start doing this?
I mean, I think the biggest one is it's such a... Even though, you know, there's been some sort of underwater habitat or something like that around for 50, 60 years, it's still a very unknown and in its infancy, per se. So there's not a lot out there for you to use as a founding to move forward with. So awareness is a big one. That's why I like, you know, doing podcasts and stuff like this to bring more awareness out there. That's why I try to have a healthy social media, because unless people know it's there, I don't have the millions and the dollars and the public awareness that SpaceX or NASA or whoever does to be able to talk about that. So it's not everybody's, you know, daily life. Plus, and then with that comes funding. I mean, just to get the blueprints finalized for the first underwater habitat is going to cost $100,000. That's before we even start building the thing. So once again, it's a pricey expenditure. And I think it's mostly because it's so new and the technology, even though it exists, has not been perfected and used in this way before. So I think the awareness and the finances are the two biggest areas. Everything else, I mean, the technology exists. It's doable. It's just combining those two and making this happen.
If you try to compare the two of underwater exploration, underwater colonization with space exploration and space colonization, what do you see being like the similarities? Like, there's so much unknown on each side. So what would be your pitch to, let's say, a multi-billionaire that wants to invest in one of the two? What would be the next, what would be all the breakthroughs you think could happen in underwater exploration?
Well, I think the first thing I would go with is the technical front. You look at companies like Microsoft or Amazon, Google, any of these that are, have major data frontiers and servers and all that kind of stuff. Their big thing is, costs. So they're wanting to keep those things secure and cool. If you move those into the underwater world, you can cool it because you're already underwater and it's more secure because nobody can really get to it. Microsoft has actually just tested this out on a really small format. So they see that this is a viable format moving forward. And I think that that's going to be a big one right there. And that's a multi-billion dollar industry alone right there in just the data field. So even if you just tap into that one area and say, hey, I'm not going to worry about the hotels. I'm not going to worry about the housing. I'm just going to worry about data. You've got a multi-billion dollar company right there in just data security and data storage, putting it underwater. The private housing, you have these super rich people that have their own islands. You can also have an underwater house right off your private island. So there's always that, obviously, the recreational aspect of scuba divers and stuff like that. They love being underwater, so they're going to obviously book rooms in a hotel once that comes around. So those are the three big ones that I currently see as my initial push. There's down the road, I can see other avenues, but I don't want to dilute the brand so early on. I just want to focus on these three big areas, which is hotels, housing, and data storage. And on my website, which I think we'll get into a little bit later, is that I focus the site around those three areas.
There's a lot of conspiracy nuts out there that think that aliens actually live underwater. Are you concerned about running into any of them?
I mean, I it goes back to the movie from, I think it's 1989, The Abyss, which is basically, one of my favorite movies. Actually, it's probably my favorite movie, which it's a bunch of underwater miners in this underwater moving habitat that runs into aliens underwater. It's a great movie. And sure, I mean, but that's all part of exploration. And that's hopefully some of the things will, maybe not aliens per se, but it is an alien world down there. And being able to live underwater and see it day in and day out for, maybe a year at a time, you're going to see things that weren't seen before. And so I think that's one of the benefits of having a permanent station underwater.
And like I said, when we started this, me and you have obviously been friends for, God, probably about 20 years. And ever since I've known you, you've, always been kind of working on this a little bit. Obviously, in the past couple of years, you've really pushed it forward, but we've always kind of talked about it. And one of the things I've always thought about, and kind of like what you just said, is being able to spend more time and being able to have better access, just the being able to possibly see what other kind of aquatic life is out there. It just seems like a really cool thing to me because, like you said, there's only, 5% of the ocean explored?
Right, correct.
Right. So, I mean, if you think about that, that's really only 5% of potential aquatic life that we know about. And, I'm a big animal, I love going to zoos, aquariums, and whatnot. So that aspect alone is appealing to me because I feel like it would give, biologists and marine biologists, especially something like if they had a laboratory that was underwater, you know, to think of all the research they could do and what kind of things we could learn. So to me, that is one thing, I guess, personally, I think is really cool about the project you're pursuing.
Yeah, and I hope that other people, obviously, you said you and me have talked to quite a while, so you've got a little bit more knowledge, and I've you know, talked about it so much over the years that you know more about than other people do, but I hope that other people will grasp that concept, and, you know, and going back to something earlier, we know more about the moon. I think we've actually documented more of Mars even than we have our own oceans. So that kind of states, you know, where our priorities have been. And I'm not trying to diss NASA or SpaceX or Bezos or anybody trying to do these things. That's their passion. That's what they want to do. Do it. But there is this whole entire Earth that we don't know anything about still. That I think is, to an extent, is a shame. I think that we should know more about that, and that's, you know, the awareness. Everybody's always talking ocean awareness and stuff along those lines, and that's kind of what I'm really trying to grab that pulse and run with it.
Do you think a lot of what that might have to do with is that, obviously, in the past, you know, 20 to 30 years, the argument of global warming has become such a big topic that so many people are thinking that, A, either we need to fix stuff, or B, we need to get the hell off this planet. So do you think there's so many people that are leaning towards the latter where they're just like, you know what, instead of pursuing the kind of things you are trying to pursue, let's just try to figure out how we can get somewhere else because obviously we've just destroyed what's here.
Yeah, I think, obviously I know for a fact that Elon Musk with SpaceX, that's how he feels about it. It's always about a contingency plan for that if something were to happen to Earth or when something happens to Earth, that we've got, you know, mankind already on another planet that can sustain humanity for the foreseeable future. So that's obviously, you know, his big thing. But at the same time, I think that just the, you know, humans, we're explorers. We like to explore. And so I think that's a big part of it. And since, you know, space is vast and there is, you know, that's another discussion, but is there an end to space? That's kind of one of the questions I think we want to kind of answer. So I get it. Once again, I don't want to go to space. I don't want to leave Earth with not coming back or not be able to come back for quite a while. I like it here. And so let's explore here and let's live here for as long as we can. And we've got a lot of space we can still live in.
Like you've said, there's been other pioneers in this field. There actually is already a few habitats out there. Like what kind of structures are already out there right now that kind of fall into this category that you're pursuing?
Sure. So right now, actually, there was three until a couple months ago. Now there's only two left in the world. Both of them are right off of Florida. One of them is called Aquarius Undersea Lab, and it is owned by Florida. I can't remember. It's Florida College down there. It was from the Navy. And so Florida bought it, and now they're running it, and it's only for scientists. It's located in about 60 foot of water, and scientists can go down there and spend, you know, a week, a day, whatever, to do research and stuff along those lines. They got scuba dive down to it. The other one was, once again, it was also a science research platform called La Chalupa, but they've changed it, and it's now called Jules Undersea Lodge, and it's in a lagoon in Florida. And you can scuba dive down to that, and anybody that can scuba dive can go down there and spend the night or however long you want to pay for. And that, and so, you know, it's the best of both worlds. What I'm trying to do here, it's both of them are small, and that's something that isn't all that inviting. So, you know, with my idea was, well, let's do something that hybrids both of them. It opens up to the science community as well as just the residential community. And so, it's much bigger. Actually, one of my mentors that I've been talking to and that's actually involved in these things, he said it'll be the biggest one ever made. And so because of that, because I want it to be spacious where you felt at home, but at the same time, you know, was able to fit the bill and be cost effective and not too audacious. So, yeah, right now there's only two to answer your question. Both of them are in Florida. The one that you can actually go to as a scuba diver is actually booked almost every day of the year. So that kind of tells you the demand out there for it. And this one isn't that big, and it's in a lagoon, so it doesn't have that great of a view in comparison to what could happen. So, yeah.
Obviously, your goal is you'd want to be able to place these anywhere. A lot of people are going to think mainly the ocean. I mean, we have been talking about the ocean, but really you're saying they could ideally be placed in any large mass of water, correct?
You could. Once again, you know, I'm not sure why somebody would want to put it in a lake or a large body, but it totally could, and it would be a draw for the scuba community if somebody wanted to put one of these in a quarry or a nice big lake. It would be a draw, and it'd be a you know, money maker for them at the same time.
Yeah, obviously you wouldn't want to put it in like some dirty, muddy lake where you're down there and all you see is just mud. But at the same time, and like I said, what we've talked about before, I mean, we've seen, I mean, even just recently, let's take, for example, I believe it was Hurricane Florence that just went through like the Carolinas or whatever. Like how does ocean weather impact the structures of what you're trying to make? And is that another one of the challenges?
It is. And Aquarius, who I talked about, that's off the coast of Florida in 60 foot of water last year, was 2017, when the hurricane season, we had some big ones come through, and actually it took some damage. It has a life support buoy that floats above it. And I think it took some damage as well as some of the structure. It wasn't, you know, destroyed or anything like that, but it was out of commission for a little bit while they repaired it. So obviously it's a concern. My first habitat will still be in about that 60 foot range, just because cost and other factors. But down the road, I'd like to get below 100 foot, because once you start getting about that deep, you start to negating any of the concerns you have for that hurricane weather or anything like that.
The current ones that you said that are out there really aren't that deep, correct?
Right. I think they're at 60 foot and 40 foot, I believe.
And with what the project you're trying to go with, tell me kind of the phases of what you'd like to see happen. Like, you'd like to see like you said, a smaller habitat first, but then what would be, you know, your step-by-step process of what's your dream with this?
Sure. Yeah, so basically the design I've been working with the engineers with is a proof of concept build more than anything. With it, you do have to scuba dive down to it. It's kind of, but once you get inside, you can stay as long as you want. It's very spacious. So it's the foundation for everything that comes after it more than anything. After that is where I really see, you know, you can drop a couple of these proof of concepts to, you know, to get the notoriety out there. But after that, then that's where the full hotel comes into play. And the initial designs for that are a 6-suite underwater hotel. Each of these is a pretty good sized suite. And you will not have to scuba dive to get to this. You'll either go there by shuttle or by a tube, per se. Like the only thing I can compare it to right now would be the Hyperloop, which has been in the news a lot recently. It's a vacuum sealed train of sorts. So that's an option, but it's designed currently to be taken to like an underwater shuttle. So like a submarine would take you down, they dock to the underwater hotel, you get out and you would go to your room and you spend whatever time you want to go there. And then when you want to go to the surface, you can. There'd be things you could do there, take excursions and mini subs, all that type of stuff. And that's basically phase two at that point in time where the hotel is. From there, then you start getting into private houses like we talked about before, and the underwater data storage could come into play at any point in time. It all depends on the need and if there's a buyer for it. But really the biggest current goal is to get that hotel out there to start getting people to see the underwater world and live there for periods of time, whether it is just a day or a weekend or a week. But to get people talking about it, experiencing it, and seeing it, because then after that, then you can start building more permanent structures where people are actually living there and you're working there and stuff along those lines. And from there on out, it's easy. Once you've got that hotel and you've proven that proof of concept, you're good to go.
Now, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't bring up what we've kind of always talked about, and maybe there's a reason we're keeping it quiet, but I'm gonna leak it out right now, Brendan, and it's the fact that we talked about starting our own country underwater and just, you know, starting our own aquatic nation. Like, and you're not even talking about that.
Well, I mean, once again, there's a lot of things we could talk about. You know, if you're a prepper, per se, you know, you're a doomsday prepper, this would be a perfect a prepper location. You've got an underwater habitat that you and maybe only a couple other people know where it's at, you can get to, and who's going to find you then? So there's that. But yes, right. I think that, you know, I think you and me both share, I'm not sure if you want to get politics here by any means, but more of a libertarian style view of things. And so because of that, it's, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are fed up with politics and would welcome a their own private or their own new nation that they can dictate and stuff along those lines. So, yeah, obviously down the road, this would be definitely set a platform for that. And speaking about that, there is another, they're called Seasteaders, and they're trying to do the same thing. They've got some high influenced backers, but their whole principle is to create a floating island nation by joining together different structures and float on the surface. So they're very much in the same vein that the underwater habitat thing is, except for they're wanting to stay on the surface, or I'm trying to do it underwater. Both of them have their merits. I think we're all here for the same goal, and that's the exploration into start your own nation or whatever your purpose may be.
It kind of sounds like we already found our first enemy, these Seasteaders, because I feel like their ideals are different than ours, which therefore I think that, I mean, that merits war. I mean, we're underwater folks. They're above water folks. We don't have the same belief system. They need to be taken out.
I mean, I'm not going to go there. I have talked to some of them over the past years, and I'm just going to go there.
Obviously, I'm just screwing around here. But with the project itself, and like one of the big things going forward is, you know, the financial backing. And me and you both know, I mean, especially you, this is your project, that it has so many uses that this could start. What kind of people, I mean, have you thought about or have approached even like military outlets? I mean, there's got to be uses for them. And I mean, obviously like hotel chains. And I mean, is this something that you've pursued?
I mean, if you want to start going down the conspiracy rabbit hole like you're talking about earlier, who's to say the military doesn't already have these things?
That's true.
So, no, I really try to avoid any government entities, per se. I don't want to be tied to the government unless
that's
actually
where
have
the money's
to.
At.
It is. I'm not arguing that.
Just think about it. You could never say I'm not supporting you because my taxpayer money would be supporting you, Brendan.
Well, there is that. But, your question, yes, I've hit almost all the major hotel chains. I've hit all the big name players in the data world. You know, I've emailed Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Apple, Microsoft, you name it. I've emailed them or social media contacted them. I've got a growing Excel spreadsheet of contacts of who I've contacted, how I've contacted them, when I've contacted them, and if I've got a response or not. So, I mean, I'm always open to names or suggestions. But yeah, it's an ever-growing thing where almost every week I'm contacting somebody else or hitting someone else up in a different format to try and to grow popularity. I've hit up different resorts, even big-name players in the underwater world, manufacturers, all those types of things. I've gotten some responses. Usually it's, hey, not right now or not interested, but I have gotten responses, so there is, you know, at least some people are at least responding.
And it's one of those things where, I mean, this project will definitely happen. It's, you know, and I'm not saying this just because you're my friend, but it would be, in my opinion, dumb for someone that has the ability to not jump on this because, like we've said, there are just so many opportunities that could grow from this project. And that's why, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to, you know, talk to you on this show about it, is because I'm all about trying to find solutions outside of our normal problems, and the project you're working on is the start to start solving certain types of issues. Like you said, there's so many possibilities that could start with just the underwater habitats. You know, there's more for research, there's more for learning and whatnot. But right now, you're kind of, in the meantime, and before you're waiting for someone to jump all over that, you're kind of starting crowdfunding in a way. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've got, on the website, there's links to different ways you can crowdfund. Indiegogo and GoFundMe are the two that I'm currently using, just to, you know, to get the money to get those designs. Because I believe that once the designs are finalized and that I've got that, where I can start taking that towards investors or crowdfund the rest of it, that's going to be the big key. Right now, I've just got my initial designs, which are rough. From sitting and talking with the engineers, they don't sound like they're going to change that much from my initial designs. Yeah, to answer your question again, there's crowdfunding, and that's really my push right now.
With this show, I'm going to get all those links from you, and I'm going to put those in the show notes and whatnot, so everybody that is interested to help where they can and get the information, I'll have all that. Now, your website, I am not going to try to say the name of it off the top of my head. You tell me what your website is.
It's pretty simple. It's AtlantisSeaColony.com. It's C-S-E-A. So AtlantisSeaColony.com. Or you can also get there by my new domain name, which is ColonizeTheOcean.com. Also takes you there.
What is the one thing, or many things, that you want everyone to know about this project, and give us your final pitch on doing this?
I'd say this is going to happen. Whether it's me, whether it's the different people out there trying to make this happen, it's going to happen some point in time. I'd like people to believe in my vision and jump on board now so we can get this going and be part of something great early on, so that we can grow this together. If anything, I would hope that people would get to know me first off, to be able to put their trust in what I'm trying to do. I'm not asking for handouts for nothing here. I will remember people that helped me now to down the road. So that's the biggest thing is, hey, just contact me. Let's chat. If you want to help out in whatever way, there's different ways I can always use help. Money is obviously the driving factor, but there's other areas, obviously. If just nothing, sharing the content I put out there on the web, on different social media places, but nothing else. But to anybody that is looking at investing into this or just donating money, whichever, as I said, this is going to happen. So jump on board now. Let's make this thing happen.
And I expect that when it does happen, I have, you know, like a free room booked up that I can already vouch for. That's correct.
Yeah, I'll just sleep in a bunk bed next to the server farm.
Hey, whatever. I'm not picky. I mean, as long as I can be one of the first. Actually, I don't want to be one of the first because, I mean, it's kind of the same thing as like being the first person to ride a roller coaster. Sure, it's been tested, but it's still that lingering thought that, hey, if something happens, I don't want to be the one it happens to. But
don't worry, I will be the first. I will be.
I don't think you can do that because, think of, you know, like, God forbid, something were to go wrong. Well, now everything's lost with you. I think we need to, maybe just put a webcam down there for a little bit. You know, I don't know.
Well, okay, that's fair enough. But it doesn't matter. I'm still going to be the first, person to the thing.
I'm leaving the science to you on all this because you've got all this figured out. Like you said, you can go to www.AtlantisSeaColony.com. And I believe on that site, I've been to it, you can see some of the designs you've made, correct?
Yeah, I don't put too much information out there. From that site, there's different social media links, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, all those are on there. And Instagram is definitely the one that's probably got the most images and stuff on there. So you might want to go there from there. But the website definitely helps direct you to everywhere you need to get to and gives you a lot more information.
I encourage everyone that can hear this to do that. It is an awesome project to follow. Like you said, even if they can't back you financially, if they can be there to support you and help spread the word, I know that's one of the things you're looking for. So I encourage everybody that's listening to this podcast to do that. Get on board with my buddy Brendan here. Follow him on his social media. Go to his website. Check out what he's working on. And stay in tune to what he's got going on. Because, like you said, good things are going to come up. So, Brendan, thank you for taking some time to chat with me about this.
Dude, thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it.
I'm going to have you back on sometime when we're going to talk about some of this other stuff. I mean, after you do this, we're going to talk about how we're going to set up the Underwater Nation. I mean, but we got to make sure it gets there first.
Hey, I'll come back and talk about anything you want.
don't sign up for that, because I could sign you up for some pretty weird topics, man.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can follow me at Podcast Break on Twitter. You can go to facebook.com/breakituppodcast. You can go to Instagram at breakituppodcast. You can email me at adamjewell@breakituppodcast.com. And I think it's important to know that my buddy Brendan here, the one that we are interviewing, has helped me set up all that, to be honest. So not only is he revolutionizing how we're going to colonize the ocean, he's revolutionizing me as well. Thank you, Brendan. We'll talk to you later. Once again, that was a interview with my good friend Brendan Traxler. Coming up on the next episode, in 2 weeks, October 20th, I have adult actress and virtual reality entrepreneur Ella Darling joining us. We'll be talking about the stigma and portrayal of pornography in today's society, as well as talking to her about her adventures in virtual reality and the projects she's got going on. It's very cool. There's more to this than what most people would think there is. I'm very excited to share it with you guys. So once again, you guys can get a hold of me at Podcast Break on Twitter, Break It Up Podcast on Break It Up Podcast on Facebook, Break It Up Podcast Instagram, and Break It Up Podcast Snapchat, as well as adamjewell@breakituppodcast.com if you want to get a hold of me. Let's talk. Let's interact a little. Always looking for suggestions. Please join the Facebook group. I really want to try to get more conversations going about different subjects. I want to take in ideas from you guys, and I'm really hoping to grow a community where we can all discuss, debate, civilly, might I add, and just discuss different subjects, and maybe we can all together find solutions to certain problems in today's society. So once again, thank you guys very much for tuning in, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.